This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Better late than never, Verizon is about to join the iPhone party.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Verizon is getting ready for a major announcement tomorrow, and word is 4 years after Apple introduced the iPhone, it will soon be available on more than one carrier. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
That one carrier has been AT&T, and AT&T hasn't exactly had the best reputation these last few years.
The cell phone coverage is notoriously poor.
Laura DiDio is with Information Technology Intelligence Consulting. She says a Verizon iPhone could bring with it better deals for consumers.
Verizon is going to really try and make the most of this opportunity by offering, you know, even more bundles than they have been.
Apple reportedly sold more than 45 million iPhones last year. Tech analyst Rob Enderle says with Verizon, those sales could double.
I think it's very clear that Apple needs to get around AT&T if they want to grow their market and grow it significantly.
Enderle says the deal has taken so long because Verizon and Apple have some history.
Apple went to Verizon before they went to AT&T, and Verizon basically laughed them out of the office. And ever since then, they haven't been willing to let them back in again.
Funny how a blockbuster phone can change the mind. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Well, Congress is putting off scheduled business this week in the wake of Saturday's tragic shooting in Arizona, but some government work goes on. Today, the chairwoman of the Consumer Product Safety Commission is on an important trip to Beijing. Inez Tenenbaum is there to set up the first ever Consumer Product Safety Office overseas. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is with us now live with more. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So why put a product safety office in China?
Well, between China and Hong Kong, those two countries are responsible for 45% of all the consumer products and 90% of the toys that are sold here. Hmm. But, you know, there have been lots of problems with toxic paint and metals in those kids'
right.
products or even bad drywall that emits these noxious gases. So Andy Rothman is this economist in Shanghai with the brokerage firm CLSA, and he says China's trying to avoid recalls by inviting regulators from its export markets to work more closely with local industries.
And we've seen this before on issues like mine safety, and the FAA has been here for a long time, for example, working on aviation safety. So this is not really something new for the Chinese Communist Party.
And John, is this going to do anything for the U.S. consumers who've already been harmed by some of the defective products that have come out of China?
Well, Chairwoman Tenenbaum met today with a group of Chinese drywall makers to try to get some compensation for all the people in this country who installed the smelly walls. Hmm. And there are over 4,000 complaints from U.S. homeowners in U.S. courts. But she reports no progress with the manufacturers themselves. So her next stop is going to be with the Chinese Government Office of Quality Inspections, just to see if there's any way to hold the government more accountable.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are lower across Europe and Asia this morning. Stocks down more than 1% in Paris, a bit less than 1% in Hong Kong. The communist Southeast Asian nation of Laos will open a stock market tomorrow. It's hoping to attract outside investment and boost its economy. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 22 points to close at 11,674.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. and by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com.
Tonight, Oregon and Auburn will square off in college football's BCS championship game. But before a single player has stepped onto the field, many fans have already tasted defeat. That's because the ticket-selling website StubHub allowed hundreds of tickets to be sold, even though they never actually existed. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, David Nogueras reports.
If you're looking to go to a sold-out sports event or music concert, and you're not comfortable buying a scalp ticket in the parking lot, thanks to the internet, there are options. StubHub is one of the big players. This year's BCS title had been shaping up to be the biggest moneymaker in the history of StubHub. Head of Communications Glenn Lehrman says that all changed when sellers began to let them know they didn't actually have some of the tickets they sold.
And ordinarily, you know, if something like this happens, we're able to source the tickets from, you know, a variety of locations and able to take care of that. But in this instance, because tickets had become so expensive and so scarce, it was just almost impossible at this point.
With an average cost of $1,100 a ticket, StubHub did something it had never done before. It shut down the event on its site and emailed customers who already received their tickets, offering to buy them back for three times what they paid. StubHub now says they bought back enough tickets to cover all the unfulfilled orders. How much did that cost?
I can't give exact numbers, but let's just say it's a lot of money.
But then again, the secondary ticket market brings in about $3 billion a year. Sucharita Malpuru is an analyst for Forrester Research. She says at the center of that market are the ticket brokers.
A lot of these brokers have relationships with season ticket holders that they think that they can take advantage of. And sometimes in cases like this, situations get a little bit out of hand.
None of the brokers contacted for this story would agree to go on the air, but one said it's common for brokers to sell tickets they don't have with the hope of buying them cheaper later on from panicky sellers. It's kind of like a short sale. But this guy's company lost about $80,000 because not enough fans were willing to part with their tickets, no matter how high prices got. In Oregon, I'm David Nogueras for Marketplace.
And finally, you'd think in 2011 we'd be flocking to the theaters to see movies about internet startups or aliens or futuristic stuff like that. Well, you'd be wrong. The top movie at the box office over the weekend was True Grit. The Coen Brothers movie starring Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon has now brought in $110 million. It's the first Western to top $100 million since Unforgiven and Dances with Wolves back in the 90s. Wonder if people are going to start naming their kids after the main character, Rooster Cogburn. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A lot of things are made in China. Soon, though, you might need to add that morning cup of joe to the list.
The reason we've worked with companies like Nestle and Starbucks here is to learn their skills, management, and brand building. One day, we'll have our own famous brand.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the China Blend. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.